we're recording. Vahani read this beforehand, and she really liked it. So hopefully it will be enjoyable. And it'll be recorded onto the web, so we'll... Hopefully others will see this as well. But this actually starts out... This is our parsha. This is Moshe coming... This is Moshe's basically second mission. Right? Last time Hashem told him, Moshe, you have to go tell Paro, let my people go. And he goes, and Paro says no, and makes things worse, won't give him straw. And he's all sad and depressed, and then Hashem says, no, you need to go back anyway.
Okay.
Hey, Liara. Okay. So,
hi.
The parsha, after the introduction of Va'era El Avraham, where Hashem tells Moshe, you know, I appeared to the Avot, I didn't fulfill all my promises, I just made promises, they didn't despair, you can't despair either. Hashem says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Re'ena Taticha Elohim L'Faro. Look, I have made you basically a god to Paro. You are in charge of him. Arona Achicha Yeniv Yecha, and Aaron will be your prophet. Vatata Berekol Shatevecha, and you, Moshe, go say everything I command you. Arona Achicha Debel Paro, and Aaron will be the spokesman. Will speak to Paro, Vichilach B'nei Yisrael Me'atzo, and he will send B'nei Yisrael out. Vaniyek Shele Paro, and I will harden Paro's heart. Right? He's not going to listen to you at first. Rebetit of the Tibet of Tiberius and Shriam, and I will bring lots of signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Vayishmalechem Paro, and Paro is still not going to listen to you. Natatiyat Yadim Mitzrayim, and I will place my hand over Egypt. Vatzitit Tzibotai et mi ben Yisrael me'arit Mitzrayim, b'shvatim godlim, and then I will lead my people, my host, Israel, out of Egypt with the great judgments. Yadim Mitzrayim kini Hashem, and Israel at Egypt will know that I am God. Natatiyat Yadim Mitzrayim, when I place my hand, when I plant my hand, really, literally, on Egypt. Vatzitit ben Yisrael mitocham, and I bring ben Yisrael out from there. Yes, Moshe Aaron, Kachet Hashem Otam Kin Asu, and then Moshe and Aaron go and they actually do this. So that Pasuk and Pasuk Dalet, right? Rashi makes an utterly incomprehensible comment that everyone's bothered by. On the comment Benatati et Yadi b'Mitzrayim, verse 2, et Yadi, my hand, Yad Mamash. A real hand, lakopahem, to in order to strike them, to smite them. Rashi says that Natati Yadi is a real hand, okay, which is bothers everybody. What does that mean? Does God have hands? Right, we say every morning, Yigdal, and lo demuta guf bein a guf, right? Hashem doesn't have a body, doesn't have it, has no image, feeling of a body, no image of a body. God is incorporeal. That's a fancy word. For not having a body, that's where the Rambam says it in the Mishnah Torah. Chamisha hen nikrim minim. There are five people are called a min. Now the Rambam obviously has his 13 ikarim, 13 principles of faith that you have to believe in. If you don't believe in them, you're a heretic, according to the Rambam. And he divides heretics into min, apikaris, and kofar. And I'm not sure exactly the difference, but of the what kind they're called min is one who says v'omer sheyesh sham ribon echad, says that there is a God who runs the universe, aval shu guf u'bal tumuna, that there, but he has a body and has an image. That's an apikaris, right? You can't believe that God has a body, has parts, but it's not really that simple. And
so the mitzvah saying he doesn't have a body.
The mitzvah is right. You cannot say it, but the min says he does have a body. The heretic says is shehu guf ubal tumuna, has a body or has a form and an image. That's a heretic. You can't say that.
Oh,
the question is, what does Rashi mean by et yadi when he says my hand yad mamash, a real hand? That's the question. So the Ravid actually in his comments, that's a goat on the Mishnah Torah, he disagrees. He says, it's true that God is incorporeal, doesn't have a body, but it's not heresy to think so, right? Because it's not a sin to be wrong. Right? Not all errors are heretical that kick you out of the Jewish people that are unacceptable beliefs. You can say out what you think is wrong, but I can live with that. And in fact, there were Gedolim who explicitly felt that Shem had a body of sorts. Not flesh and blood, but some kind of spiritual substance. So that you could say that there was a Yad Hashem and Yad Mamash, some real hand. And this is the way the Ravid puts it, okay? So, in that comment on the Mishnah Torah. And Homer Shiesh Ribbon Achad, El Shush Goof Ubal Tumunah, that if you're a heretic, if you say that Hashem has a goof, a body, or a Tumunah, an image, Avram Homer, Vlama Karola Zemin, why would you call such a person a heretic? Kama Gedolim V'Tovim Mimenu, that there were plenty, there were a number of people who were Gedolim, who were greater, better than the Rambam. Right? Rishonim can talk like this with each other. Thought exactly this thought. According to what they saw, the Pesukim talked about things like Yad Hashem, and they said, well, obviously you must have a Yad. Yoteri Masheru, and even more, what they see, that are incredibly hard to understand in Midrashim without understanding some kind of literal sense of body. So there are people who said, okay, God has a body, which is a very strange kind of thought. Chani said that they had Rabbi Lin talk to them quite a bit about corporeal hagshama in belief there. And if Leora had that also.
Danny, what's the Rav's name, Rabbi? What does that stand for?
Rabbi Ben David. Does it Leora?
What?
Would you say?
I think I remember Rabbi Lin talking a little bit about this, like, how could this be? And but the Ravid always disagrees with the Rambam, right?
Okay, right. So the Ravid's commentary is his disagreement, right? So
right. You assume, I guess, that if he didn't say something, then he agrees.
He agrees with it, right. So the Hasagot all start out with the very harsh disagreements with the Rambam. So that's the Rav. It's Avram ben David of Pasquier or something, somewhere in France.
Okay.
He's a Rishon, right? I mean, he's got status here. That's not a, you can't dismiss.
So was them. He like, was he during Rashi's time also or no?
No, it's Rambam. So earlier.
So oh, earlier. A century
earlier.
Okay.
Good. So there's an article by Nathan Slifkin, the Zoo Rabbi. The question is, was Rashi a corporal realist? Was Rashi one of those who believed, yes, God is a body. That's what Yad Mamash means. So anyway, he puts it with the testimony of the Ramban and other Rishonim that there were many great Torah scholars in France, especially it was the Tosfot, who were corporealists. One cannot dismiss the fact that one of those scholars could easily have been Rashi. And he, in fact, argues his view of God appears to be accorded what was described by Rabbi Yishai Dutrani as held by many scholars, that includes some of the sages of Talmud, that God is a gigantic human form, made of ethereal substance and not subject to human frailties and limitations. Okay, that's a possibility. And there are strong arguments both ways. It's not clear from Rashi's parish, but he.
That's really weird.
It is, I mean, really like, weird.
Yeah.
And Slifkin makes the point is that we have Paskin this already.
What do you mean?
They have been Machloket in the 12th century. It is not, okay? Yes, we say, Ein lo demuta guf ein aguf. Don't go there.
That's what we do nowadays. Like, we hold like that.
That's right. That is actually a Paskin of that. And I think if you.
But if the Rambam came before Rashi, then how could anybody
else? Him, right? If Rashi held that way, then Rashi had to disagree with the Rambam.
Right.
Which is not unusual. But
yeah.
But clearly, right nowadays, if someone said, oh, yeah, Hashem is body, you'd be like, no, that's heresy. Yeah.
Right, I would agree with that. You can read that. I mean, there's a link here if you want to go to my website here to the article that he writes, and he concludes exactly that's not an argument that you should, that this is a real belief, because this whole body thing is
consistent
with everything else, not a valid one. It's consistent with what we understand as the Yichud Hashem, that Hashem is one, not divisible into parts. That whole thing, but I would my feeling. I argue that Rashi actually agrees with the Rambam. Hashem does not have a former body. So the question,
it seems to me that these people are saying that he's corporeal are taking the Peshat literally.
Yes, but that's the question.
Because obviously, you know, the hand of God, meaning God's actions or his greatness is involved in making things happen without actually having a hand, you know what I mean?
Right, but that's the question. What is Rashi looking source to? Et yadi, Rashi uses the term yad mamash, la kopa. Yeah. What does that word mean? If we're not going to go corporeal, what does Rashi mean? That's the question. That's what I want to focus on. I'm not going to answer what Rashi said. I think Rashi said meant incorporeal, right? The way we hold right now, there's no such thing as a hand. So what does yad mamash mean? Those that prove that Rashi felt that God had hands. The answer is no, right? That's Beckridge's law, I think, of headlines. If a headline ever has a question, the answer is always no. Because the answer was yes, it wouldn't be a question. You can always tell when an article has a question in the headline. So there's some creative answers to explain what he means. So this is Moshe Ben Chaim, who's there's a Kiruv rabbi in something called the Jewish Times. This is in Masorah.org. Says, you know, it means Rashi understands Yad Mamash to mean a big giant hand, right? God created a hand to smite Egypt. A hand came out of the sky and just whacked them, right? God created what he wishes. Hand was creation, not part of God. That's what Yad Mamash, that's the way he understands Yad Mamash and Rashi. But there was this vision of a giant hand. When they said Esbe Elokim, it was because they saw a finger sticking out of them, right? But Yad Hashem on you create Yom Suf means that they saw some kind of image of a hand. It's like Daniel, when there's this vision of a writing on the wall by Belshazzar, that they see a vision of a hand writing on the wall in Daniel. We have that idea. So that's the same thing that happened in Mitzrayim, which is cute. It means creating your own agada, you're creating your own midrash, which I don't like. There's no hint of that in the text. No one else mentions that. So I'm going to go with a different way. I know we lost Leah. That mamash doesn't mean real in the sense of a physical hand. Yad mamash doesn't mean that a real hand. We're translating it wrong. And the proof of that is from an earlier common parashat, Parashat Shemot, verse 9. Atered bat paro l'chot al yar, v'narter hol chot al yad hayar. Okay? Bat paro goes to bathe on the river, and her maidservants are walking on al yad hayar. How you translate that? On the side of the river, right?
Yeah, the bank.
The river banks, right? Atered tatevan, she sees this little basket with a baby Moshe in it, v'tochasuf, v'tchachna atavadicha, sends out her maidservant, and she takes it. Rashi there says, al yad hayar, means it's el hayor, next to the or. Shmuel is a pasuk from Shmuel, which says, Ruchal kat Yoav el yadi, that is, Yoav has a field, Avshalom says, next to mine. Hu lashon yad mamash. Okay, there's that phrase, yad mamash. Shiyad adam smuchalo, that person's hands right next to his body. Okay, so unless you want to say Rashi's a river corporealist, he feels that rivers have physical hands, fingers and all that. Clearly, Yad Mamash doesn't mean a physical hand. What does Yad Mamash mean? Mamash means it's a valid definition of the word, even if it's not literal. And that's why Rashi explains by Kriya Yamsu, right? By Yah Yisrael, Yad HaGadolah, verse 11, Asher Asah Sem Mitzrayim, that Bnei Israel saw the Yad HaGadolah, the great hand. What's Yad HaGadolah? Rashi says, being explicitly non-corporeal, Yagdolah means etekvurah gadolah, God's great power. That's what you said, John. Yeah. And Yad Mamash means God's great power. Shastaya dol shalakar farku that Hashem did, that Hashem's hand did, meaning harbe l'shonot noflin al lashon yad. And the word yad has a lot of different meanings. Chulan lashon yad mamash hen. And that's what yad mamash means. And they're all really the word yad. Look at the dictionary under Yad, you'll see the hand, but you'll see other things like Gvura and Eitzel.
Also monument.
That's true. That's Yad Avshalom. Right. Yeah. Rashi doesn't mean that. That's in modern Hebrew. You don't see that in you don't see that in Torah. It's later in Tanakh. You see that in Shmuel and Yeshaya, the sense of Yad meaning a monument. That would be another example of a Yad Mamash. Right? That's what Rashi means by Yad Mamash. It's part of the dictionary definition of the word Yad. It doesn't always mean the hand at the upper extremity. Kulan Yad Lashon Yad Mamash, they all are Yad Mamash. But Mafar Show, Yitakena Lashon, Achar Inyan Hadibur. And you try to explain it, you've got to go by context. Understand which definition is meant by Yad.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, that's Mamash here.
That's Rashi.
That's clearly the way Rashi is using the word Yad Mamash here. It doesn't mean a literal hand, as in a thing at the end of your arm. It means this is the definition of the word. Right? So Rashi explains that to us, so it's not a problem. We have more to say. And I will add a great line from George Orwell's Politics in the English Language. Everyone should read George Orwell. And it talks about a newly invented metaphor, a metaphor. It's poetic language. It assists thought by evoking a visual image. While on the other hand, a metaphor which is technically dead, give the example of iron resolution, I would give the example of hearts of palm. As an effective verb to be an ordinary word, it can generally be used without a loss of vividness. Okay, so a metaphor has a poetic image that we kind of visualize what something means by imagining the other sorts of it, but a dead metaphor is just the meaning of the word. That when I talk about hearts of palm, I'm not thinking about something that's deep inside of it, me. It just means something that's inside. But in between those classes, there's a huge dump of worn-out metaphors that have lost all evocative power and merely used because they save people the trouble of inventing phrases for themselves. But he doesn't like using trite phrases. But
like in Hebrew, the phrase nafal ha'afimon means like, oh, nafal ha'afimon, like I just got what happened 5 minutes ago. It just clicked with me. Because it used to be when you put the afimon was like the token you put in the payphone, yes. And then right, and yes. It like had a delay before it went down. But now that doesn't exist anymore. But people still say that.
Okay. I still have afimon in, by the way.
Oh, with a little hole in the middle, right?
Yes.
Yes. The question is right. So as of right now, so nafal afimon is still what he would call a trite metaphor, worn out. The word asimon in Hebrew does not actually mean to understand something. But if it gets to that point, then it would be a lashon asimon mamash. Right now it's what's the word, an idiom? It's just
idiom?
And yeah, it's an idiom, but right. As opposed to saying that yeah, the mamash here is the word. Hi, Leah.
Hi, I just couldn't take it. My computer just died. It was too much for us, for its little brain.
Oh, you missed the punchline.
I know. Well, I heard the Yad Mamash being the first idea.
Okay, the Yad Mamash. So I'm going to go back here. That the proof that Rashi Yad Mamash doesn't mean real hand, the way we're using it, is right. By Parol Chota Yar, but Altera Holkota Yad Hayar. That her maidservants are walking Al Yad Hayar, and Rashi says Al Yad Hayar is the Eitzel Yar. Who lashon Yad Mamash? Yad Mamash doesn't mean a real hand; it means a literal meaning. Yad Hagdola. Rashi says Yad Hagdola et Gvura Hagdola. Right? Yad means Gvura. Rabbe lashonot noflin al lashon Yad, and the word Yad has lots of meanings. Hulon lashon Yad Mamash. Mamash means literal, or a dictionary definition. And you have to understand it from context. So that there are at least three different definitions of Yad in the Torah. And Janet said, men mentioned the fourth one of a monument. So there's the literal meaning, which is the terminal part of the vertebrate forelimb when modified its pneumas as a grasping organ. Okay, that's a Yad. Also, Eitzel. That's Yad Mamash. Means something next to. And Gevura. That's Lashon Yad Mamash. Okay, so that's what we're not bothered by in terms of corporality of when Rashi said Natati Yad Yadi means Yad Mamash. So now I'm going to go use my computer, right?
Because I just want to say one more thing about your example of hearts of palm.
Huh?
Hearts of palm are really hearts of palm. For them to harvest a heart of palm, they basically have to cut down the palm tree and take out this heart.
Right.
But it's not an actual heart.
It's not the heart. It's the organ.
Oh, it's not instead, a heart like a muscle, like a beating heart like ours.
Right. It is a one of the definitions of the word heart is things in the center of.
Wait, so is what like a dead metaphor? Would that be like a dial tone? Because like it's not really, or like a dialing on a phone. Like you don't actually, or like someone has a phone.
Yes,
and like,
so it's ringing. In general, if I use the word dial to when I call somebody, even using a keypad on a touch screen, that would be probably a dead metaphor because it doesn't evoke a poetic image for me, and I don't.
What does dialing mean?
What is a dial? What is
dialing, yeah.
A dial, like is, a dial... Round, is a round thing.
Right, so it's a thing where they used to go like. You just...
Yeah, that's the dial. So that.
Anyway, Danny, what I was going to say about hearts of palm is the minute you harvest the hearts of palm from a palm tree,
yeah,
you kill the tree. The tree dies.
Yeah, I know. That's true. That's true of wheat also. It doesn't bother me. It's a crop.
I'm just saying.
I know. It's
a heart in the sense that once you harvest the heart, it's dead.
It's so dead. That if you are actually thinking that, then it's no longer a dead metaphor or figurative definition. Now you're using it as an actual metaphor. So you can basically bring those things back to life.
It is sort of a metaphor for me.
But here.
Is that why hearts of palm is so expensive?
Are they expensive? I don't know. They seem that expensive. There's cans for a couple dollars. They're not talking, I mean, they don't cut down like huge palm trees. You know,
obviously, because otherwise they'd be very stalky and you couldn't eat them.
Right. They're the size of the hearts of pine. You don't have to be the stalk. So that's how big the trees are cutting down. They're not tree trees.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's like cutting down a wheat stalk to get the wheat off of it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go back to Yad. And Yad Mamash. Because I've got my database and I'm going to go through where does Rashi define the word Yad. I've got a bunch of these definitions, right? Like Kachman Abab Yado by Yaakov, and Yado means Rishuto, his possessions, something under his control. That's Yad, Abab Yado. And Bnei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Ramah is Begura. We have that definition already. So we've got eight definition meaning Yad, literal hand. We've got next to, and we've got Begura, the power of. We have Rishut means within the possession of, the control of. And we have Yad al Kiska by Amalek, that Zidosha Kadosh Baruch Hu Hurmalish Shava, that they're swearing. God raises a hand as an idiom for swearing. And then we have Gudea Mishkan by Yad Itamar, that the Mishkan was in the hands of Itamar, as Hu Apakid. That's the same thing as in Rishuto, it's in control, is control. Nasa o moed al yado l'diglehem, that everyone was on al yad the mishkan, that's al makamo, next to its place. Ein lashon yad zaz mimashmuto, and the word yad doesn't budge from its literal meaning. Rach shel tzido means next to. The literal meaning of yad here is next to. Again, the same idea of yad mamash. Yeah. Don't think of a hand, but the word yad means next to. Right. Ani yeshiv al hayam va'al yad hayadein, they live al yad the yarden. Yad
kamash. Doesn't liyad mean next to? Like, liyad.
Yeah, in modern Hebrew, liyad means next to. That's right. Yeah. That's a dictionary definition. You don't think poetically about hands. You don't go through steps of thinking, okay, just like my hand is next to me, so this, the side, the banks of the river are like the hands. No. It just means next to. That's what Rashi means by mamash. And similarly, by Sichon, by Kachet Arto Miyado, from his hand, that means Rishuto. Another definition here. And when Moshe sends Pinchas to fight Midian, Chatzotu Terah Biyado, in his hand, it's Rishuto, in his control. Like he wasn't carrying all the Chatzotot, all the trumpets. He was in charge. And same thing by the when Bnei Yisrael conquer the Eber Yarden, the east side of the Jordan, they conquered Miyad Shnei Malchei Amori from the yad of the two kings, Merishut. So that yad means this two additional definitions we're seeing here. There's the swearing and there's Rishut, which actually interestingly has halachic implications. As the pasuk says about divorce, Kikach Ishisha Allah. If someone marries a woman, a man marries a woman, and he doesn't like her anymore, wants to divorce her, he has to write a get, natan biyada, and put it biyada, and send him out. And the Yerushalmi points out, That sounds like in li alabiada, meaning in literally in the hand of. Begin ta b'chatzera, mean I had a, what if I just put it into her garden or her yard? They are just like when we took, when we conquered the land of Sichon, we took it miyado. Yad there means the reshut, means the control of. You really take it from there. I mean, he wasn't holding the land in his hand. Elamihu miyado mirshuto. Yado means halachically reshuto. However, if you look at all of Rashi's definitions, he never says, when he defines yad as reshut, he never says lashon yad mamash. Yad mamash or mashma'ut only applies to the etzel and to the gvura, next to and the power of. It seems to me, and this is my understanding, that Rashi considers those two meanings, etzel and gvura, as yad mamash, literal meaning. Those are part of the dictionary definition of yad, and that reshut is metaphoric. That's still a metaphor. That I'm thinking about, you know, how things I have in my hand are within my possession. So too, anything in my possession, I would call that within my hand.
Danny, occupancy is 9/10 of the law.
Possession is 9/10 of the law. That's true.
I'm just saying, if something's close, if you're holding something close, basically you have reshut over it.
It is, but I want to see specifically how I understand this word yad here.
Yeah.
And why Rashi in our pasuk makes a point of saying Natati yadi al Mitzrayim means yad mamash. In context, it means gevura. Why does he want to tell me that here? And why does he say it here? Because where he should say it was in last week's parsha. The same uses the same phrase. I will send forth my hand, and I will strike Egypt. Last week, that's most, right at the beginning of Moshe's mission, Hashem says, I will send forth my hand, and Rashi says, crickets, nothing. A little chirp in the background. Rashi doesn't comment about Yad here at all. No Yad Mamash. Yad Mamash is only this week's parsha. So what I think is that, again, we have to look at the word yad. There are lots of meanings. We have to see if it means in context. Rashi tells us that already. Right. And you could logically read it as either gvura, which is yad mamash, or as reshut, metaphoric, as in Hashem will send a messenger, send someone in it who represents Hashem, the pakid, as we said by Itamar. Either one are valid. Hashem will save Israel either direct manifestation of his power or through some messenger, acting with Hashem's authority. That would be the yad, but not mamash, as mashal. So we know what happened. What happened at Yitzhak Mitzrayim? You say it in the Haggadah, right? Exactly. Hashem does it with a direct manifestation of God's power. There's no malach, there's no shaliach there. So, in the first case, in Shemot Gimel, when he says, shalachti adi, it doesn't matter how we interpret yad. Moshe means given mission to speak to Paro, and you can interpret it however you want. We're going to see how it works out in terms of what actually happens. But Shemot Zion, our parsha here, where Hashem tells Moshe, Natati et yadi, I will put my yad in. And Rashi tells us yad mamash. Moshe is in a position of having objected to Hashem, saying, I can't do this. Right? The previous psukim. Leber Hashem el Moshe, lemor ani Hashem. Right? I am God. Leber el paro mechatrayim et kol Hashem ani dover lecha. You need to go, Moshe, and go back. I know you don't think it worked the last time, but trust me, this is the beginning. You need to go back and talk to Paro. And Moshe says back, I am of sealed lips. I can't talk. Paro will never listen to me. So Hashem's answer is Natati et yadi. Because Rashi isn't telling us how to define yad. He's telling us what Hashem's message to Moshe was. He's telling us that Hashem is saying that the yadi, they said before, Samti yadi Mitzrayim. I'm saying now, Natati yadi isn't metaphoric. it wasn't my reshut, not my agency. I'm not sending a messenger here. Rashi's explaining the message to Moshe here is, don't worry about your ability to redeem Israel. It's not up to you. When I say Natati Yadi, it's Yadi Mamash, the Hakopahem. It's my gevura, my power will manifest in Israel. It's not any kind of messenger there. As Rashi needs to tell us, it's Yadi Mamash, that literal meaning of Yad, meaning gevura, my power, that will redeem Bnei Israel. Moshe, don't worry. You don't have to be a good speaker. You don't have to actually do miracles. It's not up to you. It's not you acting in Bereshuti. I will do all the redeeming here. You just have to do the talking. And that's what Yad Mamash means here. And I will stop here.
Danny,
yeah.
That's interesting because the pasuk we started with said Moses was going to go to Pharaoh and Aaron was going to be his Navi.
Right.
Meaning he was going to speak for Moshe. So then God's saying here, no, you're going to speak for me and I'm going to make things happen.
Right. So both Moshe and Aaron are speaking for Hashem, but Aaron's going to do the actual speaking and Moshe's going to do the acting, being this symbolic representative.
Okay.
But the message here is that it's going to be Hashem Kvodov Atzmo, who's going to do the Yetziat Mitzrayim. No intermediaries. And that's what I am arguing is what Rashi means by Yad Mamash.
Cool.
Nothing to do with corporeality, no literal hands, no hands flying out of the sky.
Oh, that would be interesting.